Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome everyone. This is indeed The Bible on Trial. And my name is Dennis, and I'm here with Dr. Don and Rick Sterling, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy day to join us for our program. Today is August 21, 2020, and we are again here called by name before the Father to learn the truth, and we are glad that you have taken that time to join us. I will be putting up on chat here in just a minute our websites. Our primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. Lots of good information there. Our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick and me, is there. You can just put that into, put it in the search engine, The Spirit of the Church, and it will take you right there. We also have a secondary website that is the same as the first, except there's a / capital F, capital T, capital M on the end, and that will take you there. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we can hardly wait to find out what is new in the world of truth. Things have been happening hot and heavy, not only here in our ministry, learning things that we never expected, but also out in the wider world, where it seems that things of above, things from above, are impacting those things here on this earth in such a way that we will enter a new period of peace and prosperity rather than anxiousness, worry, and death and destruction. So thank you, Father, for being with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us. And thank you, Jesus, for your words that inspire us to learn that truth. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's see. Don, let's turn this over this way so that we can hear you. And good morning. And Rick. Rick, you are...
I know, I'm potted up.
I would say...
Or not.
This morning I was going to say up and running,
it's rather warm today, so I don't know about the running part.
If you want to go to pot, that's okay with me.
Hey, welcome everyone. I hope you find this study broadcast extremely interesting today. It is very interesting to me, to say the least. I discovered a channel on YouTube that a woman, I think her name is Bonnie, has. She gave a little synopsis of her background. She worked in politics, I guess you could say. She worked at a polling station or something, I believe in Ohio. Started out there as a teenager. And it was a Republican polling station. She wasn't She wasn't, I guess, at the time registered to vote anyway. When she turned 21, she was old enough to register to vote. The head of the polling station where she worked, she said, pointed his finger right in her face and says, "You are going to register Republican." So, of course, when she went out to register, she registered Democrat because she didn't appreciate him pointing his finger in her face. And she stayed Democrat. I don't think she is now. But she says, it's said that over the past few years, I guess, that she has received some heavenly visitor that has given her information, particularly information concerning the time we are living in right now. I'm going to read two verses in Deuteronomy that I have read several times, and I'm going to read again. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder. Now, what I understand from that first part that's setting it up is, this is a person who has given information from either a prophecy or a dream. Now, a prophecy would be a information from a divine messenger, a spiritual messenger from the heavens, not necessarily from God, but you cannot rule that out according to what is written here, how this says. So this person has already been given information concerning the future or the present situation as it relates to the future. And then what they do. So what he's saying is, if this prophet or dreamer of dreams gives you a sign or a wonder. So the prophecy is not the sign or the wonder. The sign or the wonder is a miracle to lend credence to their prophetic veracity. And the sign or the wonder comes true. Okay. Sign or wonder comes true. So they have given information about the future or about the present as it relates to the future. Then they do a miracle to back up what they their claim to be receiving this as a prophet. And if that actually takes place, that the miracle that they are performing takes place concerning what he spoke to you, saying, "Let us go after other gods." Now, there's the key. Let us go after other gods. That would be Baal, Asherah, or any of the number of
Tammuz,
Canaanite, Egyptian, Hyksos, Greek, Babylonian, any of those gods. They're actually the same spiritual beings, but with a different name. The name that they have is in the language of the country that they're worshiping. But they're actually all these, well, they're Satan and his co-insurrectionists pretending to be God and gods. And it says, let us go after other gods whom you have not known. Key. Go after other gods whom you have not known. And let us obey them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your intellect, your soul. Now, back to the woman that I started talking about. Do I dismiss her because she does not believe what I believe, but she worships the God that I worship? She just doesn't know the God I worship as I know the God I worship. She's not saying, let's worship Satan. She's not saying, let's worship pagan gods. In fact, she's not saying, let's worship any gods. But I do know that she worships the God that the Protestants believe they are worshiping. It's that saying that that the Son of God said to the woman at the well, you worship what you do not know. He did not condemn her for that, because he understood the reason she did not know who she was worshiping was because she had been lied to by the leadership, who should have known, but they were purposefully misleading. So I'm going to share with you two or three things this woman said she had been given. You've heard me also talk about Kim Clement in the past. I think Kim Clement was given valid information about the future. So far, almost everything that he said would happen in the future, that he was prophesying from at least 2010 to 2015 when he died, has come true. He was not saying, let's go worship other gods. When he spoke, the God he spoke of and the God that he worshiped is the same God that I worship. He just didn't know the same God that I worship as I know him. I also mentioned to Dennis earlier this week when I was sharing this with him. Dennis, there was a question that I asked about, what do you think would be easier to do and probably more productive to present the true God of heaven in truth during a time of deep distress and horrific activity, or during a time of peace and prosperity.
And I didn't explain. Oh, I'm got another hum. In any case, the fascinating thing to me is, having thought about this after you asked the question, when people are under distress, are they able to, for the most part, think clearly? Are they able, for the most part, to analyze and try to understand what's going on? Are they able, or are they willing, to put forward in their own minds and out into their friends' minds reasoning as to why these things might be taking place? Or, in the main, do they simply react to it? For instance, you are in a car accident, or you see one. Do you, at the moment that it happens, are you trying to analyze why it happened, what the guy was doing, was he drunk, was he... No, you're just reacting to something that has been terrifying. When God put forth the prophecies of Revelation, especially Revelation 13, one world government, death and destruction, anxiousness, all of this stuff. Was that the first resort, or is that the last resort?
Or was that a resort?
And what I mean is, there was always a choice in this, but we didn't see it until recently. Just months ago, we did not see, we knew about the Seven Thunders, we knew that they were there, we had been trying to figure out what was going on, and then you postulated, Rick, that those Seven Thunders, since God in the past has always given a life road prophecy and a death road prophecy for his people, he's always done that, and he lets them choose, even though he knows what they're going to say, what they're going to do, he knows that. Because he is God, he has to give them a choice. But it seems in Revelation, there was no choice. All of a sudden, things didn't go the way God had planned, and so by God, he was going to see to it that, man, if you don't choose this way, you choose that way, you're going to get blasted with heavenly fire. Okay? Pain and suffering and all of this.
But would make...
He gave the alternative in the Seven Thunders, which is peace and prosperity. And so I thought about that, and I'm saying, okay, if people are comfortable, if they have enough to eat, if they are paying their bills on time, if there is...
What if there's been a debt jubilee and all their debts have been...
Yes, and all their debts...
Zeroed out.
Zeroed out, and not only has this happened on a national level, this has happened on a worldwide level. Would there be any way of saying that this happened by chance?
Would a judgment message have the relevance that it would if we were living in the hell on earth? Yes.
You see, people would not, in one way, people would not be able to think clearly. In the other, they would. And if they're thinking clearly, what are they going to choose? Are they going to choose life, or are they going to choose death? Oh, having all my bills paid and being able to eat regularly and you know, being able to, you know, have all this good stuff happening. This is terrible. I think I'm going to choose the death row. You see, it doesn't make any sense. So, to answer your question, when God supplies an alternative to the death row, and we choose it, we will understand what is going to happen, and we will be prepared for it.
The reason I'm doing all of this is that there are a lot of people who say they are getting information from the God, the heavens, the true God. Most are just looking for notoriety or attention. But I do believe that some are actually getting this information in a dream or a vision or even an encounter with a heavenly being. At this moment in time, it looks to me like this woman may be legitimate. And I say, at this moment in time, it looks like that. I'm going to share with you two or three of the specific elements that she said. First, she said that she was told that Donald Trump would be reelected. Not only would he be reelected, and reelected in a landslide, but he would serve 8 more years. She says, but isn't there a law or something that says they can only serve a total of 8 years? And the heavenly messenger said, yes, but in his second term, they will change that law.
Well, they might not even need to change the law because, remember, he was elected under the corporate body, under the corporate United States that first time. He would get a do-over if he is elected underneath the Republic.
Well, I guess what this heavenly messenger said was because the demon rats had so oppressed him through his first term that he would be given one more term where he could accomplish what he would have been able to accomplish had they cooperated with him. The other thing she said was that the world, not just this country, but the world would experience peace and prosperity. And that would come about after the election. There would be no more wars. She also said, this messenger told her, that God was preparing a group of people to take the truth to the world, and that he would be showing signs and wonders to back up their testimony. Now, where have you heard that before?
Huh. I wonder.
And she also said that, now, this isn't all at one time. I mean, she gets this information every every so often. She also said that this heavenly messenger told her that there would be books that would be closed and other books would be opened. So it would stand to reason that the books that are closed would have been open. In other words, the information would have been available to read. But books would be open, or information would be made known. That would mean that it wasn't available previously, but it was there. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that supports my understanding that the death row prophecies will be closed and the life row prophecies, basically the seven thunders, although I do believe that Daniel 2 is also included in that. And you say, well, but it's been there. Yes, it has been there. I don't know if it was included in the sealing that the angel told Daniel about, the sealing of the prophecies, which may only have included 10, 11, and 12, although I think that there was at least a part of the Daniel 2 prophecy that was sealed concerning the time of the end. That image followed a progression of kingdoms until the time of the end, where there was a mixture of the seed of men, the kings of the feet, and the kings in that time. At that time, the God of heaven is going to establish a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And the meaning of that, because it was going to occur in the last days, to me would have been sealed until that time.
And you know, we do see in Daniel 12 a sealing until the end as well. The angel told Daniel, said, he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the time of the end.
And it's these words that I'm... is it all the prophecies that apply to just the end of time? Obviously not chapter 9. That's not sealed up. But all those that have to deal with the end of days.
And see, the next verse, Daniel 12:10, takes on new meaning when we think in terms of peace and prosperity, as opposed to death and destruction. And it says, many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. What does it mean to be refined? Well, from a metallurgical standpoint, what is happening is you have some metal that you are heating and it is burning up the impurities in that. But the metal itself is not changed. It's only taking out what should not be there.
The metal is purified.
The metal is now purified.
Not that the metal itself, the gold itself was bad, but that the gold had to be freed from the...
And you see, here we have the
dross or whatever.
Yes, here's what we have with the peace and prosperity. There are millions and millions and millions of wonderful people on this earth who love God in a way that, but it's a God they don't know yet fully.
They've never been told the truth.
They've never been told the truth, but they love, even if it's just loving the idea of God, they love God. That is the gold.
Yeah.
Now, what is it that we do? Do we want to remove the dross is this dross supposed to be removed under the most painful, horrific, horrible situation you could possibly imagine? What is that going to, what is that going to do to the gold? You see, what we have here is God giving us information that is so astounding and so lovely that it is hard to comprehend. He wants everyone who loves him to be in the kingdom. And he will see to it during a time of peace and prosperity.
What has he always wanted for his people? He's always wanted them to have peace,
right,
and prosperity, and that their labors would be rewarded. This is the whole thing.
Okay. So I don't know how many of you had a chance to read the, and I won't read it, the episode information. I went a little bit longer on it than the than what is, what appears on our website. You'd have to go to our Facebook group page, Spirit of Truth Facebook group page. But what I am seeing in this world is a two sides. One side believes everything by faith without accountability. And I mentioned that quote that you, that is literally my favorite quote. And I use this on people and they go, wow, that is so succinct. That's so great. And it goes, faith allows a person to believe a lie as if it is the truth without accountability. And that's what we're seeing in the protesters that are turning wicked and looting and rioting. That is because they believe, they have no foundation for their belief, but they believe it anyway, and they believe they will not be held accountable, and certain judges are seeing to it that they aren't. And so what God says is, all of you will be held accountable. If you accept that accountability and you are then purified, refined, and made white, made the clothing that you wear made white, you will not be harmed in the judgment. You see? So, I mean, this has uplifted me and buoyed me up.
Well, you won't, and you won't be judged.
No, you're not judged.
And the reason that I say that is the Son of God submitted himself to the test when he came down here. He submitted himself to the test, and the test is to obey God. That was the test, and that's what righteousness is. And he said in his prayer that John heard, and at least John wrote it down, so I know John heard it, that he said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified. And so he lived according to all that righteousness demands, just what he said to John the Baptist when he asked him to baptize him. And when we read there in Daniel 7 about the thrones that are set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, and then the one that appeared as like a son of man was led into his presence. He was led into his presence with a white robe, and he was deemed worthy. We read in Revelation 5 about the book with the seven seals, and the Father hands the book with the seven seals to the Lamb because the Lamb is worthy, the Lamb qualified. So it wasn't that the Lamb was once not holy and became holy and that judgment had to be made. What the judgment was is he has always been holy. And that's what all of the righteous will be seen as. They will be seen as they have on their own followed all that righteousness demands. And so their previous life before that is not held in account because they did not know.
Correct.
It's knowingly sin, knowingly break the law.
Right.
That's the whole key.
I'm going to read the last paragraph of this. I want to get this on the record. Because what we are, see again, you and I never communicate about this. I don't think there's one time when we've actually planned the episode information to go, you know, with something that you're going, we don't do it. This is about left and right, both spiritually and, say, politically, or that of the world. The left lives by faith. The right lives by fact. And based upon the above quote, that is, faith allows a person to believe a lie as if it is the truth without accountability. Based upon the above quote, this is simply true. Those that base their paradigms on the idea of emotional victimhood are claiming that everything that is wrong with their lives is the fault of someone else. They are on the left. Those that claim responsibility for their own actions and don't blame others for their problems and are accountable for those actions are both on and in the right, no matter what your religion or political stance. If you hold these things to be self-evident, then you are either a Christian that believes in salvation by faith through grace, or you are a follower of Jesus Christ that believes that we are all accountable for our actions in keeping the commandments of God and holding to the testimony of Jesus, Revelation 12:17. This is the choice. There is no middle ground. Choose right or choose left. In fact, there is even a psalm or a proverb, I'm going to look it up, that speaks of the right and the left.
And also, right brain and
correct.
Left brain.
Absolutely. And this is not discounting either. You have to have both to function properly.
Well, where is the perfect part of the brain?
Midbrain.
Midbrain.
Correct.
And that's where your intellect dwells. Matthew chapter 17. And verse 10 through 12. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. That's in the New American Standard Bible. The Jerusalem Bible says, and will see to it that everything is as it should be. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. And the there, and the them that he's talking about, are the religious leaders. This woman said that she woke up early one morning and there was this being at the end of her bed. Very hairy. Very hairy. Very hairy. Long beard, long hair, and he was wearing a very hairy cloak.
Just let me give this text. It's actually Ecclesiastes 10:2. A wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left.
There you go.
Really?
Ecclesiastes 10:2.
Really?
And she said this being was holding his hand up as if he was holding something between the tips of his fingers. He told her that he was Elijah, the prophet. And that he had a seed in his hand, and it was a new seed that was going to be planted in the earth. Now, I know that God has always used a seed to represent his word. A planted seed is a word planted in the intellect. It's interesting that this being said he was Elijah, the prophet. It seems that she was describing what I would think that John the Baptist looked like, from what I understand. But the original prophet Elijah, the Elijah who was the prophet in the day of Ahab and Jezebel, I think was also like that. Planting a new seed. A different seed. Books would be closed and books would be opened. Turn to Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head. And his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, which was open. And he placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them." And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there shall be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the secret intention of God will be made known. Or as it says here, the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. Now, understand that when John is told to do this, the angel has declared the delay has ended. That's key. And I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many different peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. Now, I know that Ezekiel was asked to eat the scroll and that it would be sweet as honey in his mouth. It didn't say anything about bitterness in the stomach, just sweet as honey in the mouth. And of course, what Ezekiel was prophesying about was mainly Life Road. The bitterness in the stomach may be one of two things. It may be a death road for some, or it may be an earth cosmic disaster. One that will end life on earth as we know it. So the time of peace and prosperity will be wonderful. What I believe is that the sun has a micronova waiting to deliver to the earth. Those who accept the message of those whom God sends throughout the world, the 144,000, they will be taken from the earth before the micronova occurs. But there will be those who have refused to do that which God requires. They will be left on the earth, and they will be destroyed.
And by the way, this is not a secret rapture.
No.
This is going to be done right out in front of everyone.
Now, there's someone else who claims to have been given some information, and they are talking about just this, that there's some type of a cosmic disaster that forces most people underground. 90% of the people will be forced underground. 10% will be able to live on the surface. I'm not saying anything about that person other than that's what they've seen, is there is some type of cosmic disaster that is going to affect the earth for maybe even 100 years or more, where these people would have to live underground.
I wonder if there's any connection between that and Jules Verne's time machine. You know.
Well, I know we do read in Revelation about the wicked seeking shelter in caves and the rocks of the ground and that to hide themselves at the coming of the Son of God. I guess we will know what the what has turned the stomach bitter of this individual. I do believe that John is participating in the prophetic message. Not that John is going to come here to earth to do this, but he's participating in the information that God is giving about the end, where he is playing the part of the faithful and wise servant. I do believe the faithful and wise servant will be given the message that John heard the seven thunders, the voice of the seven thunders, say. What I see happening today is the devil knows that he has failed in his efforts to deceive the whole world. Now, I know in Revelation 12, it talks about Satan, the devil, that ancient serpent who deceives the whole world. Now, he has deceived the whole world, but he has not affected them to the state of wickedness that he had accomplished in the days of Noah. The heart of the people of earth is like the heart of the woman at the well. I want you to think about that. In fact, while we have a little bit of time left,
what is like the woman at the well? Can you say that again?
The heart of most of the people on earth today is like the heart of the woman at the well.
Well, okay, in that vein, Rick, do you see any significance between the number of angels that went with Satan from heaven to earth when they were cast out and the number of people who will be on this earth who will continue to follow Satan no matter what is presented to them?
Yes. The war in the heavens, as I have said many times before, was not one of military might with bombs and bullets and lightning bolts and lasers
and flaming
whatever.
Swords.
There was no taking of life. The war was a propaganda war waged by Satan and those who had sided with him here on earth, who had taken for themselves the position of God. They had made themselves gods in the eyes of the people. And it was a war of truth against propaganda. Exactly what we have going on here on earth. Truth and propaganda. And truth won in the heavens because truth always wins in the end. And the devil and his angels were cast to the earth where they had deceived the people. In John chapter 4, verse 7, starting in verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus is sitting at Jacob's well in Sychar. Or Sychar. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, and the Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Right there, first clue. What did he say to her? If you knew. If you knew the gift of God. So first he's saying you don't know. But he's not saying you're a wicked person. In fact, he doesn't even say she's wicked when he knows that she's had four husbands already, and the fifth that she's living with isn't her husband. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." She still doesn't know. Go to verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews." But he's not saying that the Jewish religious leaders are the ones who she needs to go to. When he's saying we, he's talking about himself and his disciples, that they know whom they worship. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. In spirit means you know, because your intellect is where the truth dwells. When you know the truth about God, you know God and you know who you worship. But if you don't know the truth about God, but you worship God, you're not worshiping God in truth, but you are worshiping God. You are not worshiping Satan.
Another great study. Thank you, Rick. And we encourage our listeners to go to our websites, spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/STM capitalized. We encourage you to go to our Blog Talk Radio episode page, where you can find more than 1,170 programs that will encourage you to study the truth. We hope to see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time at this same location on blogtalkradio.com/SOT for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a good day, and we'll see you all tomorrow.